Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show at Dad's Point of View. Now, what movie is that from? I don't remember. Richard, you're going to have to tell me. Do you know? Okay, he doesn't know. We're going to have to. I know it's a. God. I'm going to get it. It's going to bother me. Okay. It is time for Team Wrap with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California for the last 7 years, and he's also pursuing he's finished doctoral work. I've gotten old notes here. He is now Dr. and Pastor Drew Sams, and he lives with his wife, Erica, and young son, Judah Andrew, in Westlake Village, California. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Thank you for having me back. I had a flashback that I had a paper due tomorrow. So.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
To even do that slip. Well, I like to open every episode with you with a health and welfare update on baby. We should have a theme for this. Baby Judah Andrew. How is he doing?
He's doing great. 5.5 months old. He is flipping over from back to front, front to back, smiling, laughing, having a great time. We went in this week. He got weighed. He is almost 18 pounds. Which is almost the size of some of our one-year-old friends. He's huge. He's like a big bruiser.
I just remembered the song. The Windmills of My Mind was the song that we heard at the opening, which was the theme song, I believe, from the Thomas Crown Affair, the original. Okay, I just had to say that because it was going to make me crazy.
I love it.
That's way before your time, Pastor Drew. You probably remember the one Pierce Brosnan did the remake of the Thomas Crown Affair. The original one was with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway, and the theme song was sung by Noel Harrison, who had a brief career as a singer, who was Rex Harrison's son. That is totally useless trivia, but I just had to share it.
But, you know, the remake was fantastic. I never saw the original. Do you see the remake?
Yeah, they were both good. The remake was a a repurposing. It was a very much updated version, but it had all the qualities of the original, but it was different. It wasn't just a remake. The original, the steam between Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway in the original, it was very palpable. And it wasn't quite the same between Pierce Brosnan, and I forgot the actress, who's quite good, but it wasn't quite, that's the part where I think it lacked. But what was going on between Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway was serious fireworks. And of course, they weren't as explicit in those days in how they showed it. So the implications and the little looks and the music had bigger power than just showing naked bodies. And I just love when they could create that kind of heat, so to speak, without having to be graphic. And so you might want to rent it. It's a darn good movie.
Great, great, great.
So lying, truth, I suppose there's nothing about that in the Bible.
Boy, not much. It was hard for me to do research and find, but boy, it is all over.
Well, where would you like to start?
There's so many places. I mean, from Genesis through Revelation, not only are there stories of people who lie and the holes they get themselves into and the consequences of that, you know, even some very important biblical righteous people. David, for example, I mean, a huge lie.
Oh, God, he did that. That was a horrible lie.
If
you're referencing the one about the husband of the woman that he loved.
And not only did he...
That was beyond a lie. That was a sin.
Yeah, and it led to him enabling the death of Bathsheba, her husband.
Her husband, right.
Sending him off the front lines of war, and so there's some consequences. It gets deeper and deeper into that.
Just by coveting another man's wife. I mean, that's way beyond a lie.
Yeah. So you've got in one hand these, you know, righteous people that even David is a man that's described as a man after God's own heart. We see their brokenness. We see that they're prone to lying. And then on the other hand, we see God just despising lying. I mean, there's a verse that, this is not subtle, but it simply says that lying is an abomination to the Lord.
That's not subtle.
That's Proverbs 12:22 from the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. So here you've got, in some ways, a disconnect. God hates lying. Yet we see God's people lying, and on one hand, I'm reminded that we are broken. There's no one that's ever lived who hasn't said a lie. Though I believe Jesus lived that perfect life and never lied, But I see God being graceful and merciful, and even in the spider lies, that that he still enables us a way out, and
well,
we can
know,
choose that way out.
One of the miracles of the Bible to me is the fallibility of its prime characters. The fact that David could do something as horrible as he did, but still be a biblical hero. Moses, I mean, he did something equally horrible when he went up to the mount and brought back the commandments and threw down the commandments and all that was associated with it. And in fact, speaking of the commandments, is there, I mean, I'm actually blanking, is there one that says, thou shalt not lie?
There is. Let me see which order it is. But, I mean, very clearly in the very foundational aspects of how God wanted the nation of Israel to live was lying. And I believe it's the ninth commandment, I believe, off the top of my head. I'm going to do online searching is so easy here.
Right.
But really...
But there's other commandments that actually talk about our language. I mean, not taking the Lord's name in vain is another thing that has to do actually with language, which is speech, which, of course, obviously would include lying. And in the case of David, he committed so many in that one sin of coveting another person's property, in this case, a wife, and then lying on top of it and all the other things that he did, that those sins were, I think, ultimately almost unforgivable. But I believe that some sins are unforgivable, and I know there are people that believe every sin is potentially forgivable. And I believe also, and actually I'm not quite sure where you stand on this, that the only deity or the only... person's the wrong word, but the only person that can forgive, I use that word, somebody's sin is God. I don't believe another person can, especially if someone's dead. You know, the survivor can't. So where do you stand on that?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I do believe that God is the only righteous judge.
Okay,
and
good,
so that he can only discern what's right and what's wrong. And so ultimately, it all goes back to him. He has the wisdom, the knowledge, and the authority to not only recognize brokenness and sin, but also to forgive it. But I do see, as a Christian, part of Jesus' teaching was that as God has forgiven you, forgive others. So in the language he's using there is, don't hold someone's sin against them like you have to seek righteousness, you have to seek vindication, let God deal with them, let God be the judge, let God forgive them. It's not saying you have the power to forgive and then it's wiped clean and that's it, but it's let God deal with them and don't be harboring that hate and that anger, because often when somebody wrongs you and you have that vindication against them, that frustration, you often carry that much longer than they do. They can
absolutely
move on. They can forget about it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of just releasing it and saying, okay, God, I trust you. I know that you're good. I know that you're righteous. You deal with them, and I'm just going to trust that you are good, and you're going to deal with them how you will.
I have a column that I'm going to be writing soon that's called Pride Was My Downfall. And it's about a couple incidents in my life where I didn't want to forgive people close to me, and I ended up being hurt infinitely more than they were. Mm. So I think there's such truth in your words.
Yeah, it's a lot of freedom, I think, when we can release that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sadly, we're out of time, Pastor Drew. Are you blogging? And if not, where can our listeners find you?
Okay, this is becoming almost as regular a segment as the health and wealth of Judah, my son. So we're going to have to get me actually back blogging.
Good.
Because I don't like saying I'm on Facebook and that's it. So... I'm going to make this commitment too. I'm going to be back up and going by next Thursday. How's that?
That's fabulous. All right, but in the meantime, Surfer Drew on Facebook, correct?
Yes, on Twitter, Facebook, all social media, Surfer Drew is how you can find me.
Excellent. All right, thank you so much, Pastor Drew. We'll talk to you next week, and stay tuned for a special guest, Dr. Janelle, for the Women's Room.